everybody, and welcome to Breaking the Rules, Vanderpump Ones. I am solo today for the whole recap, and I am having a little bit of feedback. I'm not sure what's going on right now. I've done all kinds of maneuvering, trying to keep it at bay, so my apologies if you do hear any of the feedback. I think somebody is on a CB radio close to here, and so it's cutting in every now and again. Keep in mind, I'm in the middle of nowhere whenever I'm recording. But anyway, I am alone today recording because our son is enlisting in the military. We've been on this road since the summer. I know you guys have been along. If you're an avid listener, you guys have been along for this. He attempted to go in the Air Force at first and was going to go active duty. He had a lot of problems. He went through 3 different recruiters. One of them was dishonorably discharged. And then he just got into a lot of back and forth with a lot of paperwork, and the recruiters didn't really want to see him to do the paperwork. So he kind of set it down and was regrouping on what he wanted to change his major to, because that's kind of where we got here. And so he definitely made the decision that he wanted to do National Guard and finish his degree. So he's down there with his dad. He's getting everything finished for his physical, and we're super excited for him. I'm going to try and move my phone a little bit. Hoping. Anyway, so I'll go through headlines first, and then I'll jump into the recap. The headlines are kind of, they're not as crazy as they were last week, that's for sure. But they're still all over the place, so I'm going to try and keep myself on task here. The first one is Jackson Brittany's ongoing saga. They did release a new The Valley trailer, or new preview for The Valley. On this preview, you are starting to see some of the differences between Jackson Brittany and their relationship. She says they're not having sex. You know, he kind of is demeaning her emotional connection with him in a conversation by telling her that she's not allowed to have emotion. And I'm sure there's more context to that conversation, but I just really this preview was very classic Jax, so I'm really hoping. The best part of the preview for me, and you guys can catch it on our TikTok page, but the best part of the preview for me was whenever Schwartz was helping Jax with the new bar, and he was like, I got a beautiful son, I got money in the bank, I got a job, I got a bar. And Schwartz was like, anytime now you're going to indeed be miserable and divorced and living back with me. So I think he is well on his way to that as of right now. So I will say there was a leak. Some fan or some fake account, because it was not real, emailed or messaged the Bravo investigator. And if you guys are not following her, please go follow her. She is a very good friend of mine. She's a Canadian creator, and she digs. I mean, it is her specialty. It's why she calls herself the Bravo investigator, because if there's something to dig about, she's going to dig it out. And she got a message from a follower on her Instagram showing a comment that another creator had made, and I'm not going to say her name because apparently it was a fake account that doctored that screenshot to make it look like it was her, and it was not her. So just being clear with that, and I'm not going to talk about who that was, but apparently saying that Jax was demeaning Brittany about her weight gain, and he was no longer attracted to her. From the trailer or the new preview, excuse me, it does seem like that. I mean, it seems like they are fighting about intimacy and the ability to connect. I don't know. I guess we'll see. Next week, you guys, I'm so excited. We definitely are splitting up the recap, so the Valley recap will probably come out earlier than what the Vanderpump recap comes out. I like to wait for all of the podcast to weigh in so that I can give you guys all of that information in my recaps. So I'm thinking maybe like a Friday release for the Valley recaps, Friday mornings. So we'll see. Definitely we'll know more next week when I'm doing two different releases at once. So they are getting along and co-parenting. I know that Schwartz, Kristen, Jax, and Brittany all went to Comic-Con in Lexington. There was a lot of comments made about this, that they're still going out and doing things and, you know, why this is such a joke. It's just for the show. I really do believe now they have two households to support. They're not going to forego work right now. They cannot. There's no way they can forego any job whatsoever, whatever it may be. So I don't think that really tells us much, but the cameras did pick back up. So I'm hoping that at the end of the season, we are able to see, before the reunion films, we are able to see what is going on right now. It always makes a difference. There is the ongoing saga with the lawsuit. Rachel finally did respond this morning, and she did release a 17-minute podcast. It's probably only 13 minutes long. It's 17 minutes with two commercial breaks. I did put up anything that was like a good clip from it on our TikTok and Instagram. So Breaking the Rules, VP, check them out. And both of those clips are up there. She does talk about, she kind of rants about Lisa and Tom in these. Responding to Lisa saying that she shared her porn with her best friend's boyfriend, which we all know is stupid. And, excuse me. My apologies. I am like still fighting this cold. So no matter how much I drink or take or prepare for this, I still struggle. Ooh. The lawsuit is actually, she talks about the fact that she can't really speak a lot about it, but she does say, you know, that she felt Lisa's comments were cheeky. I mean, that's what they were. She thought that she was just not reading the brief, but somebody had to fill her in and tell her that she was trying to feed a false narrative to the press so that it would roll. And she admitted she's seen comments like that on her Instagram, thinking that she really truly did, you know, share a video of herself with him for him to watch later. That's not the case. They were on a FaceTime call. You are not notified whenever a FaceTime call is recorded. I have tested the shit out of this. However, Bravo Investigator, myself, Vanderpod Recaps, and the Queen Bee Show, we all have been testing a lot of different theories, and you do not get any audio from the FaceTime recording. So no matter what you do, that FaceTime recording never had any audio. It was just a video. It doesn't make it any better because the video is the worst part, but it does give you more context into what we're talking about here when we talk about this video. She did talk about Tom a little bit. She said that, you know, she had that conversation that Tom talked about that she had with Lisa in length, and that Lisa was just kind of trying to get her to come back on the show. It was so crazy. She said that, you know, she told her, she was like, Tom is not a nice guy. He's not a good guy, and I'm not coming back and subjecting myself to that. Like, he literally told me that lying is a way of life. And that's a direct quote from her, that she said that he said to her. And Lisa said, darling, that sounds awful. You should come and tell us about it. And that to me is just crazy that she would jump straight to that's a wonderful storyline and not that's a terrible thing for someone to say to you. And that's not in any way, shape, or form the way that I portray myself or my brand. So come back, let's talk about it, let's sit down and talk about it, and let's call him to the floor. Like, you could have responded in a way that was motherly, because that's what you always claim to be, is motherly. You could have responded in that way, but she did not. So she's just kind of calling her out for that. And Brock and Sheena on their podcast, one of the things that was talked about in the lawsuit was a time in December when Ariana looked at Tom, looked at, you know, Sandoval and Rachel and told them to quit being so handsy and to save it for season 11. And whenever that happened, I guess Brock and Sheena actually solidified this claim on their podcast when they were speaking about the lawsuit and said that, you know, it was just Ariana, you know, telling her, excuse me, she was not comfortable with that, that they needed to stop. And in all reality, after everything that happened over the summer that was filmed and everything that's happening in front of her, I really do believe that it got to a point where Ariana just did not want to see it. She did not want to believe that her best friend and her life partner were capable of this. And so, although it may seem to Rachel or an onlooker like she was, you know, complicit or knew about this, I think she truly was just in a state of mind after losing her grandmother, her dog, was in a state of mind of just not being able to fathom that type of emotion or to feel like her loved ones were capable of that. And I think that's a pretty fair assumption on her part with her loved ones. And I don't think she should be faulted for that. So I think that was kind of a negative to be included in this. It really took me a bit to be able to see that. And so I love that I get that time to be able to come and reflect and give you guys, you know, my final thoughts. Because I've gotten to a point where I don't really say a lot on the actual posts or clips that I put up on Instagram or TikTok. But I kind of come here for my thoughts because it gives me a chance to hear everything that you guys say and to really weigh in on my own thoughts and to be able to tell you guys, you know, here's how I'm seeing it from that, you know, helicopter view, because that's really what I like to do, is to see each character for each episode. I don't love any of them. I know early on in this podcast, I said I loved them. And getting to know them further and deeper, I don't think I love any of them. I like all of them. I think they're wonderful characters and they're amazing TV. Love the characters that they play on TV. But I think as for people, I think it's a little bit different for me these days. So things definitely change the more you know. The last headline that we have is T, which is the singer or performer that dated Sandoval over the summer and filmed some, apparently did not sign an NDA because she hit Billy Lee's podcast and spoke specifically about an interaction she had with Ariana. And it's Billy and the Kid is the podcast. And I've only listened to a couple. They are not bad podcasts, so when she has good guests on, it's really not a bad listen. I really love Billy Lee's roots of comedy, so aside from everything else, I think she is funny when she does her comedy skits, so I do enjoy that. I follow her. I enjoy those posts that she does about her comedy skits, so that's very different from the character, though, that she plays on Vanderpump Rules. Because the comedy skits are way more laid back. She can make fun of herself. She can, you know, look at things objectively. She can make me laugh about stupid things that Sandoval does that, you know, we all laugh about. So I think she does have a really good sense of humor. It's just not shown at all on Vanderpump Rules. And that's okay. I mean, that's the character that she played. And sometimes we all play a different character, and that was hers. So she goes on to say that Ariana comes up to her and tells her that, you know, waits till Sandoval walks away and tells her that, you know, Sandoval's shitty and cheated on her after her grandma died and her dog died. And they laughed about it, and that got really bad reviews on the TikTok page, just so you know. I didn't think the laughing was about that. I thought the laughing was about the joke they made after, because they said, you know, he didn't kill her grandma or her dog, so I'm not sure what that has to do with anything. And that was a lighthearted joke. I don't think they meant it in the way that it was perceived, although I did understand wholeheartedly where you guys were coming from on that. So, definitely understand. I have dark humor though, so, sorry. Anyway, season 11, episode 6. We saw it on the gram. Kind of a catchy title this time. I'll give it to them. Like, I like catchy titles. You guys know that from our podcast. So I'm excited that this one was so catchy. And sorry about the pause. I did stop recording for a second. The Hubs did come home, but he's not ready in any means to recap this. So going on without him. So they did like a nature scene whenever you're coming into this episode, and it's like, you know, the nature music that you hear on movies and stuff. It says it's 9:46 in the morning. Everybody's really quiet, like brushing their teeth, doing these like quiet things. And then there's James screaming and eating chocolate at 9:30 in the morning. And so then it switches to Sandoval journaling, and I had to laugh because I wasn't going to pause this. I knew that somebody else would pause this and would read it, and I could definitely give you guys that overview from them reading it. So I am going to open up. Our favorite person ever that would investigate this is Kristen Doty. So Kristen did read his portion of the journal. She paused it and read it on her podcast, which is A Sex, Love, and What Else Matters. If you don't follow her podcast, the day after Vanderpump airs, she usually does the day after. And it's a pretty good podcast because she's really giving some behind the scenes. Like, sometimes she'll call out and be like, I can't believe James and Schwartz are meeting up and doing this, because they just don't get along that well. Or they're not really friends, I guess. I shouldn't say they don't get along that well. They're not really friends.
Something July 15th, 2023, 9:55 a.m. Today was one of the craziest filming days I've had since being on this show. Really? Okay. Went to the airport. Sheena called me to where they were sitting like nothing had happened. Probably one of the worst days to have only gotten 1 hour of sleep plus flying. I was very emotional all day because of the lack of sleep and was overwhelmed. I feel like conversation could have gone better with James, but definitely... Oh, then it says... But was definitely production, and
productive.
Then it's all blurred out. And then it says something, like, there's like one sentence, and then it's all blurred out, so.
I didn't know it was blurred out.
Yeah, it was productive. Not production, productive. He thinks that talk with him was productive, which he did say on the after show. James, however, did not feel that talk was productive. So if you were wondering what it said, that's what it said. Thanks, Kristen, for pausing and reading that out for us. Schwartz eating potato chips at 9:46 in the morning, cracking me up. But they switch to Sheena laying in bed, and Lala comes in. She is going to, she talks about how Brock got up that morning at 5 o'clock and went golfing, and she's just kind of been reveling in her feelings. She texted Ariana throughout the day before, like, telling her, you know, what was going on, and that it was pretty surface level. But they both kind of seem to say that you know, they're just in a different place where if we're going to accept this and move on, then, you know, if this is our trip, we would have never invited him. It's just a really weird stance. And it's funny because she says she's struggling and she says all of these things. But the moment Lala says, and you're torn, she's like, oh, no, I'm not torn. I'm Team Ariana all the way. It's like she's backpedaling to make sure that she says that coined phrase Team Ariana inside of that scene so that it doesn't come back to haunt her. We all know that, you know, Ariana's watching this and probably cringing when she's watching some of these scenes where they're talking about it. I did feel like it was kind of weird that they're talking about this and having these conversations about this. Like, you should not be texting Ariana these things. You have these conversations with Lala all day long. Like, that is not uncomfortable. But the uncomfortable part is you contacting Ariana to tell her everything you're doing with her ex while filming a scene that she refused to be in. I mean, she refused to be there. If you're going to be there and be in the moment and really, you know, approaching it in the way that you are, then you cannot not look at it objectively, and you cannot reach out to her for advice or, like, it's almost like she wants her permission. It's, I don't know, it's weird. Sandoval did send her money, and she mentions this. During the pandemic, she was struggling. Her podcast was canceled. She was pregnant, and she was very, very glad that Sandoval, you know, got her some money, like sent her money. He sent her a PayPal, and she just woke up to this massive PayPal in her account. And it was from him. And she said, things like that are making me struggle with those feelings. And he did this for Kristen, too. She mentioned it, and it was, I believe it was season 6 when I went back and looked for the actual scenes to make the clip. Because I made a clip about Kristen's when she talked about it on the podcast. And I used some actual pictures from that that actual episode and scene. But Kristen talked about how she was taken from a permanent cast member down to episodic rates, and she said it was lower pay and that she was being paid less and he was still being paid his episodic rate, yet wasn't really in that episode. And so a little ways after that, that filmed or they received payment for that, he sent her some money. And she thought it was a mistake and sent it back. And he sent it back to her, and she sent it back again. So she did not accept the money that he sent her. She said she wishes she had now. But she said, you know, she didn't feel like it was right. Even though she was at a good place with him and Ariana at the time, she just didn't feel like it was right to accept money from him. And a lot of people are saying this is like something that narcissists do, and it may be something that narcissists do, but I think we do have to stop, like, we definitely have to stop blaming every good deed on a narcissistic nature, because I'm not sitting at home after I work and thinking about the people that worked harder than me that day that I should, you know, split out my pay with. So I think it does go to show, because he didn't use that. Everybody's like, oh, well, he just wanted to use that later. But he didn't. He didn't at all. And so, and the only person that brought it up was Kristen. So to me, that tells me that it really wasn't for that reason. So I think there is some good in there. I just don't think it has to do with being a partner. So if somebody's looking at him to be a good partner, that's not what you're going to find. Sandoval journaling again, like they just kept going like back and forth to him journaling and not journaling, and nobody journals this much. Okay. At that point, you're just showing it because you want people to think that he's working on himself. And at this point we've seen 6 months beyond this and we know better. Ariana is, we switch back to the LA, and Ariana is in the Valley doing her book cover and some photos. Katie shows up to that photo shoot, and, you know, Ariana says that Tom really didn't think she could do anything alone. I don't even know if that's true. I think he just really liked to insert himself. I think he liked to be a part of things, and because it was hers, he felt like he could be a part of it. And I think he just felt like she should be a part of his. And she just didn't really want to be a part of his stuff, which is fine, because she didn't want to. But I don't know. I'm not so sure it was that he didn't think she could do anything alone. I did laugh when she said that, you know, she was making lemonades out of, lemons, but with vodka. And the book is about the timeline of the relationship. So it's like the honeymoon phase and then like different parts of the book. The book is great, you guys, especially if you like to make home cocktails. It's got some great recipes in it. We did make one of them, and it was great. I'm sure it would be better if Ariana or a bartender made it for us, but we do have a shaker, and so I did make us something, and we did try one out. I can't even remember what it was, because I've read that book like 3 times now, so I know all of the drinks. But I enjoyed it. The stories that go along with it are much better. She gives little tidbits in each one of them. Maybe I'll do a podcast one day where I read it and you guys can sit through that read. And I'll put up like pictures of it or something whenever I post it. But they switch back really quick. I mean, the pictures are cool. I just felt like everything they were doing in LA was filler items, because the Tahoe trip was really had stuff going on constantly. And so the flip back and forth was really less exciting whenever they were flipping like this. However, I will say this episode is what I'm talking about. This is the type of VPR that we all love and have grown accustomed to loving. So, yes. Gotta love it. The do go back to the Tahoe, and the meditation chick arrives. You know, Tom goes out and he does tell her about his betrayal and how strained the friend group is. And he did see that a lot of them were starting to let their guards down, and he thought it was a really good idea, that this was a great time to do this. Everybody starts, you know, coming down onto the deck and arrives for this meditation, except for Brock. Sheena is looking for him, and she seems extremely pissed off that he's not there. I'm gonna take a drink. She really, later in the episode, she said to him, you know, I only asked you for one thing, and it was to be back here on time. From the meditation instructor, apparently he went really far away to golf. So I think he should have been more responsible with telling her, you know, I might be a little late. But she was not happy at all, you could tell. And that kind of set the mood for her in this meditation. Like, she walked into the meditation pissed off. And if I'm not being paid to be there, like, it makes me wonder, was he paid for this scene? I mean, he definitely earned his money for this scene if he was, because he did a lot of work. But it just makes me wonder, is he being paid? Because if I'm not, I would be like, F you, like, deal with that shit. I'm actually on vacation. I don't have to film. I'm not the one who signed up for a reality show. You did. Like, he is extremely supportive. So I hope that she understands how supportive that is, because I would not be that supportive if I'm not the one who signed up to do that, and who is the one making money from that. Just because she is there, like, the money's going to be made and the storyline's had without me in that situation. So I didn't need to be there and be, like, yelled at for no reason. He definitely shows up, though, and can I just say that Tom Schwartz's feet are disgusting. Nobody else's feet were dirty. Everybody was like, they were walking around the deck and da-da-da-da. Yeah, nobody else's feet were dirty in that scene. So he just is got dirty feet. Like, he just has dirty feet. Excuse me. Back to back, she wants, this meditation person wants them to get, and there is 7 of them. So she says, you know, that in group can be 3, and it is actually, Brock has arrived, and it is actually him, Allie, and James in that bottom 3, and then Schwartz and Lala and Sandoval and Sheena. And Sheena's like, Brock, can you not come down here and join us? And he's like, can you come down here so we can do a 3? And he goes, we're doing 3 over here. It was really funny. He did it deliberately because he felt like she needed to be there. And I felt Brock is like the voice of reason in this episode, truly and honestly. He definitely was putting it out and saying exactly how I felt. And I think a lot of the viewers were probably feeling too, that she needed to have that moment with him where she could be real and look him in the face and say how she felt. She didn't really get that chance a lot because they were so angry at the reunion. They were just yelling at each other, which defeated the purpose of being at the reunion. The reunion is to resolve things and get the things on the table. And, you know, Tom was still lying and making Raquel lie. And so it just turned into a debacle. Sheena, she definitely loses her shit pretty quickly on the back-to-back and, like, breathing together and feeling each other. She walks away and she's like, I still fucking hate you. There is a flashback there where, you know, they show everything that's happened, throughout the, you know, over time. And I think that's kind of where her mind was going. So it was a really great job on production on showing that portion of it and allowing your, you know, the visual to go where my mind was going, which was, you know, holy shit, all of the stuff that's going through her mind right now is everything they've been through. And then, you know, everything that is coming to heads. Brock goes upstairs and talks her into coming back down. So that's what I meant by saying that he earned his money this episode or this scene, because he really kind of saved the day and got her back down there and back to back with Tom. There's flashbacks while they're sitting back to back that kind of are similar to the same. It's just kind of, it's weird when they showed the flashback of Ariana saying Tom is not a liar and he's not a cheater. And that's when he was talking about Miami Girl. And if you go back and rewatch, I believe it was 3, it's just it's a really hard watch for me now, knowing that Miami Girl was telling the truth, that Ariana knew that she was covering for him, just the way they treated Kristen and the way they treated that woman when she came into the restaurant. I mean, she was thirsty, let's be real. But I do think that they kind of, like, made her seem crazy. And I'm sure she got backlash publicly at the time because it was well known. Like, everybody knows about Miami Girl. So I hope she's doing okay. And what we really wanted was her to come to the floor and be like, fuck you motherfuckers, this summer, but she didn't. She's really like, fuck you motherfuckers. The meditation specialist had them turn around and they got face to face. And she was like, you know, just like it's the last time you will ever see them. I thought that was pretty dramatic. I think to be real with somebody is not thinking they're going to die. So I think to be real with somebody is thinking they're going to live. And, you know, you have to see them understand the way they hurt you and change the way they are. If they're just dying, then they're just hearing you out. So I thought that was a really, really weird way to go about that. Would not be the way that I would go about that. Sheena said that she didn't know who he was. She said that she knew who he was to her, but what he did to Ariana was despicable, and, you know, she didn't really understand that. For me, I mean, it's not an act of death. It's not a death sentence. So I feel like she does need to lighten up. This is somebody she works with, so being cordial. And that's where I think Ariana's not quite understanding, because she never asked her not to be cordial with him, not to film with him, whatever. But just because that happens doesn't mean that, you know, you have to have this relationship where you're contacting each other after filming and reaching out to hang out and having private conversations about Ariana or about situations around them that, you know, that pertain to Ariana. So I just, it's kind of getting a lot for me. Like, she's a lot. I'm not sure I could really ingest that as a friend of somebody, if that's how taxing it was emotionally all the time. She said that she was worried that he was going to do something while all that was going on. But if she was so worried, then why didn't she just let up? If she had let up, I'm sure he would have unblocked her. She would have been like, listen, I'm going to let up. This is how I feel. And I'm going to end it there. And I'm not going to talk about this anymore. I'm sure he would have heard that. And she could have, you know, had a conversation with him in a way to understand that he was okay. So, you know, the money meant more to her than the friendship. And, you know, Tom, in his confessional, he's like, you know, I do miss her. So there was a genuine friendship there between them. I think they're both very similar and very, I'm not going to say it, but it's an N-word and it rhymes with opportunistic. She did say, you know, after they talked and the meditation ended and she went upstairs, Sheena or Lala joined her and said, you know, Sheena was like, the mask fell off. I saw like real tears in my friend. It does make her struggle harder, I think, for where she was already at. And then to see, you know, a tear roll down his cheek, which I think he's capable of doing at this point. You know, here's the thing with fake crying. If you're truly hurt by what you're thinking about in the moment, it's not really fake crying. So I think that he was truly hurt by everything that was going on. I think that he's conveying that, but I think it is definitely for the show. I don't think there was a lot genuine coming out of anything that's happening in scenes. And I mean, maybe it is for Tom right now, because that's the only way people are talking to him is via scenes they're doing with him on the show. So maybe it is different for him. But she texts Ariana again. She's in the middle of crying about it. And then she like breaks out her phone and she's like, I texted Ariana and I was like, I'll always have your back. And you know, like, stop it. That's not your audience for this. She does not give a shit how bad you feel for struggling with your thoughts on Sandoval. Just like she didn't give a shit what you thought about him in season 3. Either one. She does not want to hear what you think about him. When she dated him, when she was with him, when she's not with him. She does not give a fuck what you think about him. Which kind of makes me think she doesn't give a fuck what you think about, period. I honestly think their friendship is very surface level for the show. I think that she says that's her inner circle, and I think they do, you know, do festivals and stuff together. So I think they do hang out, they did hang out in a way together. But I think when it comes to telling her deepest, darkest secrets, she's not telling Sheena that. And we found that out by her not knowing about Miami Girl. If that's your best friend at all, she would have known about that, and she never knew about that. So that tells me a lot about their friendship. Katie, it kind of switches back, and then Katie and Ariana, they're kind of having lunch together. She does talk about Sheena texting her and saying that she was paired with Sandoval for the meditation. And Katie does the skit where she talks about, you know, you ain't gonna be somebody's friend if, you know, they're friends with him again. And Ariana's like, yeah. And she said, you know, Ariana's like, the missing, I'm not going to look at my life and be like, the missing piece is Tom Sandoval. And I totally understand that coming from her. But I think that there's a difference between telling your friends, listen, you do a job with him and we all do a job with him. And so we're going to have to film with him and be around him. And maybe fighting with him about me is your stitch this season. I don't know, but we would have sat down as friends and talked about what I, like, if this is, like, if I'm drawing a line in the sand for my friends, I'm sitting down and having a conversation. If they're going to have to film with them every fucking day, I'm not going to lay it on them to make decisions while in a scene on whether or not they should react one way, because I feel like that's in some way some of the guilt and pressure that Sheena is feeling in some of these scenes. Is not knowing how to react or what she's allowed, and I like doing quotations, allowed to do or react, and is acceptable by Ariana. And that's not me saying that she's not allowing her to. Like, she's truly not allowing you to. She's saying if you do these things, you're choosing that person over me. And she's allowed to do that. But that is drawing a line in the sand and saying you have to choose. You can't say that it's not saying you're not choosing. I'm not saying it's wrong. I do think she is right in feeling this way. I think that anybody that I consider that close of a friend should not be close with that person in a manner in which they would go to that person and talk about me. And that would be my fear if somebody got close with an ex of mine, is that they were sitting around talking shit about me. And so if that's the case, that's not my friend. And I don't know a lot of people who can keep a line there, because that other person, I left them for a reason. And so I know them well enough to know what they're capable of. They're going to approach you and do that. She does ask about, Ariana asks Katie about her emo honey, which is Kevin from the 27s. And she says, you know, she doesn't think that they have matching, world travels. And I don't even know what word I'm trying to think of. I can't even think the word I'm trying to think of. But he's just not as worldly as her, in a sense that he didn't even know what penne noodles were. Which is kind of weird, because of all the pasta, that's the one, like, you can't say it very well. So everybody asks what it is, and then you know it's the one you can't spell right. So she doesn't think it's going to last well. And they do talk about interviewing people, but what are they interviewing people for? Like, do they have a date for the store yet, for the sandwich shop? Because I'm not sure they do, and I feel like at this point, we are making up storylines so that they can film. If you decide not to go on the cast trip, then you don't get to do filler storylines that we have to sit through. Like them talking about Sheena and having conversations about that, 100%. But you interviewing bogus people about stupid shit is dumb. And I don't want to sit through it. I want to fast forward through it. It's stupid. No one that I know is going to be feeding any good information from those scenes. They jump right to the gondola ride. Allie's extremely afraid of heights, and she is in with Sheena, James, and Lala. And then the Toms are both together with Brock in a separate one. Sandoval starts immediately saying that Sheena's OCD must be why she's so focused on Scandoval and can't quit talking about it. Brock brings up that the TRO, and Tom at this point doubles down on Rachel getting punched in the face. He's like, she fucking punched her in the face, so she deserved that TRO. And I don't think she punched her, but I do think she slapped her. So one way or another, whatever they're calling a punch, I think she assaulted her, and so he thinks that was warranted, and he's doubling down on that claim, even though he's trying to make amends with her. And so that kind of tells me what I need to hear. Brock does say that Tom's camp started saying that Brock was sleeping with Rachel also to try and take the heat off of him. And I had to laugh on Everybody Loves Tom. Sandoval said, taking the heat off me for what? That's like pouring a cup of water on a house on fire, like burning fire. It's not going to do anything. It's just going to make, you know, more people talk about the affair in general and how deceitful everything was. And so it just didn't make sense to him. But, you know, he and Sandoval continue to fight after getting off the gondola. It was really funny during them fighting because Schwartz was literally in between them and he was just sinking down in his seat. So it was really funny to watch. But they fought continuously even after they got out of the gondola. Brock saying to him, my wife is here and Rachel is not. And I thought that was, you know, she's trying to make things right with you and Rachel isn't. Oh, sorry about that. I accidentally got a phone call, so it cut off my recording really quick. But Tom and Brock, they continue talking, and Brock does apologize to him for kind of jumping down his throat. He does say that, you know, he wasn't trying to come off that way, but he's just really upset that, you know, Sheena was that upset this morning. And, you know, it just continues to, you know, he wasn't touring happily. That's what Sandoval said. Sandoval's like, I'm not touring happily. Like, I was really upset and I had to tour to make money. I understand the making money part. That I understand. But I think him and the way he proceeded to act while he was on tour is a whole different story. And that was to get likes, to get people to show up at the shows. And so that was just different. Sheena is really beside herself when they stop the gondola ride. She tells Lala that Page Six has picked up the photo that they took at dinner the night before for a fan where she put her arm up around Sandoval's back to take the photo. I think this kind of shit is stupid, you guys. Her taking a photo with him doesn't mean shit. I didn't even share it when it happened. I thought it was dumb. I thought it was really funny when they were when they were talking about it on their live that night from the bed. And she was like putting her hand behind her and she like had a fist. And, you know, you're like, you can't make a fist now, but you can make a fist when you don't want your hands to touch him. And you know, it just was really funny. That was the only reason I ever shared it. But I just think this kind of shit is dumb. They're working together. They're going to be cordial again. It's pretty clear. We all knew that this was going to happen. It's just, it's the inevitable. So if it doesn't, we really don't have a good show. And she's probably going to fight with him all the time, even though they're friends. So that's kind of the point. But Lala gives her some great advice. She's like, stay the fuck out of there. Like, don't be looking online. You're already in a bad place. You don't need to be doing that. Meanwhile, back in LA, fake interviews ensue. This woman is like, you're going to be hosting and busting a sandwich shop. Like, hosting to do what? Like, are you not just ordering at the desk and then sitting down at what table's available? I'm so fucking confused at why you need a hostess in a place that's as big as my office. I don't know. This made zero fucking sense to me. Again, filler scene. That's why I'm saying that I felt like it was a filler scene. It's definitely her, that stupid woman asking, and I say stupid, I'm so sorry, she's not stupid, but the lady asking about what kind of cured meat they like. Come on. This is the dumbest shit I've ever seen. But they do get a FaceTime from Sheena. She's on the boat in Tahoe with everybody else. They've moved from the gondola to a boat for the rest of the day. And she, you know, does Ariana get flashbacks when she's on FaceTimes with people? That's what I thought about when I was watching this. I was like, Does she like look at FaceTime and she like flashbacks to what she once saw? Just a thought, just a fleeting thought. But Sheena actually told her, you know, you being friends with someone who is, oh no, it was Ariana said this to her. You being friends with someone who is not good for you is her point. Like, not, you don't need to be friends with him because I'm not friends with him, but you don't need to be friends with him because he's not a good person and he is not going to lead you down a good path. So that's kind of where she's coming from. But that's where you distance yourself from people who do that. And that's kind of what she's doing. That's a boundary, and it's quite normal. And that is really being conscrewed this season. Some of the previews I've seen for the next episode are so bad, you guys. So bad with Sheena being upset for Ariana getting Dancing with the Stars. Sheena did say that she saw genuine tears from him and got an apology, and that, you know, she can't keep hating him for her, for Ariana. I do think that is right. I just think, again, it's the wrong audience. I don't think that is something that you should have set a boundary with your friend before you started filming scenes with this other person. I think that these two people, again, are surface level friends, and I think the surface will get even even thicker now that this is happening. And I think Katie's enjoying the fuck out of every second of this, because it's almost like she has Stassi back in the picture. And that to her is just golden. I will say at this point that James posted Hippie, aka the dog formerly known as Graham, on Instagram. So you heard it on the gram, or you saw it on the gram, and Schwartz is like hitting on the steward. It's just really funny watching all of this transpire, because it's almost like five different people and five different walks of life, and they are all like colliding on one boat. Lala does they had a really good time on the boat. They swam, they were like goofing off. It seemed like they were really getting along when it's surface level like that. So it was enjoyable to see. Lala did want to, though, sit down and talk to Sandoval about saying the day that he was caught, you know, the day that everything went down, saying in an interview that she wasn't real. I think he said something like she was douchery, like it was douchery that she never shared herself. And I just think both can be true. Like, she can still feel like she's grown from that and, you know, didn't want him to be talking about it 2 years later, and still, you know, wants him to hold the fact that he said that at that time, hold himself accountable by apologizing to her. And I think it's completely warranted. I don't think it comes from a bad place. I think she was trying to have a conversation, and it just really blew up really quick. He doubles down that she really didn't share anything. And in his confessional, he said, you know, I felt like we should just call it a wash. You know, she was in a 6-year relationship and for 2 years lied through her teeth. And I was in a 10-year relationship and for 7 months lied through my teeth. So I was just calling it a wash. But that's the thing, like, during that time when she was doing that, was she going to the cameras and saying that you were not being real? Because that's where she's coming from. And that's the part that I think that he was missing until everybody came to tell him. Or maybe they just made him think that it was not really, as deep as he thought it was. I did think it was very, very bad and very, like, oh, I don't even know what word to think of to describe this, you guys. But when Lala said to Sandoval, you isolate, you groom, you isolate, you groom, I don't want to know you, you're scary. And I think that was a very strong accusation to say that he's grooming people. He immediately went off about it. I think that you don't have to groom a child, so he can very well groom adults. I think that it's not just him doing that, though, Lala. And I think if you're going to call Sandoval out for that, then you need to call James out for that, because James is a groomer. He picks women that are shy, timid, have had problems in their life, may have some emotional trauma, and he chooses that kind of woman for a reason. So I do feel like it is a double-edged sword to say that about him and then back up the other man who's done the same and never call him to the floor. Brock gets back to the house totally fucking wasted, like beyond wasted. And he and Schwartz are talking about dating. Brock tells him that his first love was a pig farmer's daughter next door. I wonder if this pig farmer is out there. We have a lot of Australia listeners. So if there is anybody who knows Brock from childhood, please hit me up on the gram, hit me up on TikTok. I would love to have you on the podcast. I can even do it anonymously, just so that you can just give us a background of what he was like as a kid. I have a feeling he was like crazy. I mean, I was a wild kid, so I have a feeling he was crazy, and we would love to hear anything you can tell us about how he was as a youngin. Tom and, Sheena and Lala are back in bed again. And at this point, I'm thinking they're trying to recreate Paige scenes from Summer House. And I'm not liking it. I hope that when we get back to town and they do some filming at their houses in Palm Springs, that they do not end up laying in their beds because they have houses next door to each other, because that's really going to get on my fucking nerves if they mimic that. But Lala, it's Sheena complaining. This, you know, nothing is ever about me. It's always about somebody else, and just one moment that's about me. And I did an interesting flashback for the TikTok page where I grabbed a couple of different clips. The first clip is from Shenanigans, and it was a year ago, almost to the day of today. So it was like the 20th of March, so like a year and a week away ago. They did this podcast, and it was Lala and Sheena, and it's Shenanigans, and they were right after the reunion, and they were talking about that. And so I put it with this clip from the last episode, and that together is the biggest hypocrisy. So I just want you guys to hear these two clips together, because I just thought it was interesting. And hang on a second, my phone in this room really can be a total dickhead sometimes. So give it just 1 second to catch
up. The thing is Ariana has drawn a line in the sand. Mm-hmm. And I feel like we've come full circle. I was telling everybody, you can't be friends with homeboy anymore.
Randall.
Schwartz went and did it. I cut him off. A lot of people didn't understand it. Now Ariana's in that situation saying, if you choose to hang out with Sandoval, which we know he will, mm-hmm. you can't be around me. Mm-hmm. It's not really saying you can and can't do this. Just know if you choose wrong, you're not around me.
Yeah.
Very simple.
Yeah. And she has, and you have every right to feel that way and to expect that from your friends.
You have every right to feel that way and expect that from your friends. You heard that, right? That's Shenanigans from last year. This is that scene that we were just recapping.
Try to talk to Ariana and say that I'm struggling, she either dismisses how I feel or tells me I shouldn't feel this way because he's a bad person. It's just like, I know, but I'm just telling you I'm struggling.
Your feelings are absolutely valid. Ariana is doing just fine. She's booking everything under the sun.
Hard thing.
So, and that's the thing, like, when you go immediately to she's booking jobs oh my God, she's booking everything under the sun. That is green jealousy talking right there. That is not true friends talking about you. So I understand where Ariana's coming from in this scene, because it really spoke volumes to me whenever the first thing they went to was she's booking jobs. So if she was doing shitty, then we could feel this way. But since she's not doing shitty, then we have to feel differently. That is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. That's kind of where it really ends, is them in the bed talking. And it seems like Lala's pretty pissed off in watching her friend struggle with that emotion. I don't know. I guess I'd love to know how you guys feel about it. Would you guys forgive your friend for, you know, talking to your ex again? And, like, I don't care who talks to my ex. So, I know that that person, I'm like Ariana, I know that person is not my close friend. If you are friends with him, you're not my close friend, because he beat me. So, that's a little different. But I guess that's kind of where I come from, where, you know, I understand where she's coming from in a sense of, I don't want that person to be able to know enough about me to make assumptions or say things to hurt me anymore. Completely valid. But anyway, thanks for joining, you guys, and we shall see you next week, and Nick will definitely be back with me. Thanks, and have a great night.